Hey, y'all. Welcome to the Marty Smith's America podcast. This is volume 95, which means it's the Myles Garrett episode. That's apropos, as we say on Marty and McGee, because Myles Garrett also happens to be our guest. We had the opportunity to chat with Myles about all kinds of different things. You guys are really going to enjoy this conversation. He has, of course, had quite a last several months after everything that happened with Mason Rudolph in the game against the Steelers. Mina Kimes, my esteemed colleague, who has her own podcast on the Levitard and Friends Network, the Mina Kimes Show with Lenny. Is that what it's called, Travis?
Yep, her dog's the co-host.
Yeah, featuring Lenny with Lenny. And so I was not going to go there with Myles, but I did ask him what new perspective he brings into 2020. And he had a very interesting comment about that and everything that happened last year. So I think you guys will enjoy that. That was just a very small part of a wide-ranging conversation that I just enjoyed thoroughly. He has done tremendous work with Chris Long and the Water Boys campaign, went to Tanzania. We discussed with him what he's doing during quarantine, during this unbelievable time with COVID-19 overtaking the entire country and the entire globe. And we also discussed his time at Texas A&M and the influences there. And maybe the funniest moment, what it was like to pose naked for the ESPN body issue for ESPN, the magazine. But that's not all we're discussing today. We're also going to discuss beer pong and a very interesting moment that is a rite of passage for most every parent, and that is taking your child driving for the first time. I took my 14-year-old son, Cameron, driving for the first time. I thought I would take advantage of my time at home and take him out in the Yukon for a driving lesson. We'll get into that as well. Lainey and I had a virtual beer pong tournament that has now swept the nation. It has become a phenomenon after everybody saw it on my Instagram story. So we'll discuss that momentarily too. But before we get to Myles, there's so much uncertainty going around right now, and NetSuite will reduce that by giving you visibility and control over your business. With so many critical decisions to make, you need the right numbers, and you need them right now. NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. With NetSuite, we give you financials, cash flow, payroll, inventory, and more all in one place, so you have clear visibility and total control of your business. NetSuite customers have the flexibility to work from anywhere with immediate clarity on critical information right at their fingertips. No more guessing, no more waiting. Make smarter decisions with confidence because you're crystal clear on your business numbers. Join more than 20,000 companies who trust NetSuite to stay in control. Receive your free guide, Managing Business Uncertainty, and schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/Marty. Don't wait to get your free guide and schedule your free product tour at netsuite.com/Marty. netsuite.com/Marty. So as I said, I had a unique weekend. It was Friday night. Lainey asked me if I wanted to play in a virtual beer pong tournament. And since that meant I had a reason to drink beer at 1:30 in the afternoon, I said, well, hell yeah, I want to participate in a virtual beer pong tournament. So it was Lainey's brother's wife's sister who decided that this was a good idea. She'd been doing it with her friends. And so she did one for our family and many of her friends. And so Lainey and I decided we would participate in it, and we did all right. And I showed kind of the setup that we had, which was the most redneck engineered thing you've ever seen. Initially, Lainey was using our stepladder, and she had duct taped a rectangular toothpaste box onto one of the steps of the stepladder. And then she was trying to lean her phone against the toothpaste box to get the perfect angle so that when you FaceTime with the opponent, they can see your cups to therefore validate that you actually made a throw when you say you made a throw.
Marty, you have a TVU setup that has a tripod that holds an iPad. Did you not think to use that?
We did not. And in fact, I never even considered that until you just said that right now. Also, I also had the, so that is not at all where my mind went, Travis. Where my mind went was bungee cords. So I went out to the truck, I grabbed a couple bungee cords, and I actually bungeed her phone to the step, angled it downwards. She has one of those pop socket deals, which actually was very helpful in this particular instance, because we rested the pop socket thing on the step and bungee corded the phone around the ladder, and it worked swimmingly at the perfect angle. We lost the first round by a mere cup to the eventual champions, which annoys me even worse. And then we won the next two, ran the table on the second opponent, sheer domination. And there's actually might have been a rules discrepancy. We thought, per the rules that we were supplied, that you could only re-rack on 6 cups, 4 cups, and 2 cups. Alas, that was incorrect. We were told by our opponent that they were able to re-rack after 3 cups. We vehemently disputed that, and they were right and we were wrong. So we kind of won that in controversial fashion. But I was going to say nobody needs to know that. Well, now the whole free world will know that. But so we won those two, and then we came up against this guy named Matt. Now, this dude named Matt had a beard befitting the Robertson brothers from Duck Dynasty. He was playing alone for whatever reason, and he was not drinking. So look, this is the fourth game.
Wait, well, hold on a second. He wasn't drinking?
No, he was not drinking.
How's he allowed to play? Yeah. Who's the rules official with this?
I'm not really sure. I guess we were, that they must have been diving into the archives here to try to locate some friends. I'm not sure, but very nice man. But he was the Steph Curry of beer pong.
He's sober.
He ran the table. I think Laney and I made one or two, and he made them all. It was unbelievable to watch.
Well, you think about it. He's sober, and he's getting to shoot 2 times. So he's getting all that extra rep in. So he's got his flow going. He doesn't have a partner that he has to worry about.
It was like watching Larry Bird in the 1987 three-point contest. You're a child, so you won't remember this. But Bird lets the last money ball go to win it. And as it's leaving his hand, he puts up the number one and walks away because he knows it's buckets. This dude was Larry Bird. 1987 or maybe 88 or 89, one of those years, whenever that happened. And I mean just straight buckets, 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 buckets. It was amazing to watch.
Who was carrying who, though? You or Laney?
We were pretty even most of the time. She made a bunch. I made a bunch. There was one particular game third game where we ran the table on those cats. I think I made like 7 or 8 of the 10. And in pretty quick fashion, I was on one that game. But that's when you find that perfect buzz. You know, beer pong, bowling, pool, putt-putt, there are certain games that when you find that perfect line, when you are on that perfect buzz line, you become so much more precise in whatever it is, especially when it's like with bowling, dude. Once I get to that third beer in bowling, I'm like – Parker Bone the third. I mean, I am killing it. But typically, you know, I'm Gutterball Bob. So I don't know, man. I must have found that perfect buzz on that third game, and then it went to hell in a handbasket after that. But this took the world by storm. I don't look at my Instagram DMs that often, but I opened up Instagram, and I noticed I had like 25 notes, and the ones that I see, the DMs that I see are only from the people that I follow, right? So all of y'all, basically, I think I follow like 300 people. So what is that? That is like more than 10%. No, it's not more than 10%. I can't do math. It's almost 10% of the people I follow wanted some information on this. And they all were like, I'm stealing this. We're doing this next weekend.
I had a friend on Saturday had a Flip Cup tournament on Zoom.
Flip Cup tournament. That's you want to get on. Like, it's quicker to get on one on Flip Cup than it is on beer pong.
I wish I had a legitimate table to play. I'm still going to see if I can figure out, and I, because, you know, living here alone, I need something doing. Beer pong and Flip Cups sound good for me.
Did you play?
No, I didn't. I wasn't part of it. I had a friend that her friends were playing it. But maybe we need to set up like a Marty McGee like beer pong tournament or something if this keeps going on.
Yeah, or you know, we could also do a virtual cornhole tournament. I have a cornhole set here, and most people have them. We could do a virtual cornhole tournament, sit there and drink beer all day.
And if we're doing this, I'd like to pick Cash Daniel as my partner.
Cash is the man. He texted me the other day, went turkey hunting, and got him a couple gobblers. I was jealous.
Who would your partner be? If you have to pick somebody that's been on the podcast, who would you pick as your beer pong partner?
Well, it has to be – oh, my beer pong partner. Ooh. Probably Lane Kiffin.
Oh, that's a good one. I was going to say maybe like an Al Dean.
Yeah, Al Dean's probably got a lot of reps.
The first ever guest on Marty's America?
Al Dean was the first ever guest on Marty Smith's America.
Yeah.
And, you know, he has a trophy case full of accolades, but I'm sure that nothing is more meaningful to him than the fact that he was the first guest on the Marty Smith's America podcast.
I bet he brags about that a lot.
Well, there's no doubt. I think it's actually in his Instagram bio. I think it's actually in there.
He has a link to our podcast page.
I actually have in my phone pictures a meme of Michael Jordan playing beer pong. Now, I love what it says. Somebody's about to get alcohol poisoning. Blackouts approaching. You imagine playing beer pong, and he has on Concord 11s while he's doing it.
Is this the one where he has like these baggy jorts on?
Yes.
And like that's the one thing about Michael is I've never understood his attire, but hey, he's MJ, so whatever.
I think they're khakis.
And they might be. I can't remember. People have talked about how his elbow's across the line when he's shooting, but who's going to call MJ out?
Nobody better call MJ out because then you're really asking for alcohol poisoning. If you want to try to step up and go against that, I saw this amazing photograph that Isaiah Thomas put on Twitter that I retweeted. That is Michael jumping out of a double team between Joe Dumars and Isaiah Thomas back in the day, wearing Bred Fours, no less. And he has to be 3 feet off the ground shooting a jump shot. It's almost like that can't be real, but it's real.
So speaking of MJ, this Twitter account, Sammy Sports Talk, created this thing where there's like a bunch of photos of athletes and celebs, and you're supposed to stop it twice, and those are the people you're quarantined with. And I did it yesterday, and I got MJ and LeBron. What would you think? What would that be like to be quarantined with those two?
Oh, my God, that would be amazing. Let's tell some stories. That's what I'd want to do.
Like, I'm going to stop it now and see who my two quarantine would be. I got Stephen A. Smith and what's his name? Harvey. Steve Harvey. Harvey. Yeah. So that I got Steve Harvey and Stephen A. Smith.
That would be quite a conversation right there.
So you had a beer pong tournament on Saturday. And then on Sunday, I get a video from you. And I want you to talk about what happened Sunday.
Yes, I did send you a video on Sunday. I took my son Cameron, who is 14, over to the Presbyterian Church parking lot, and I gave him his first driving lesson. And I will tell you, he did a great job, as you saw in the video. And he was so giddy, like he couldn't believe it. And I took him, so I got this idea of where to take him driving. From a friend, and that is a great place to take your children to learn how to drive is a cemetery, because there's very little traffic, there's a lot of turns, and you know, you're going slow. And it was just the best. And we spent a couple of hours anyway, learning how to drive for the first time. And I loved watching how his confidence built as he went. But I'll tell you, early on, it can be a little dicey, man. They don't know anything about how hard to depress the accelerator, hard to press the brake. They don't know how to work any of the instrumentation. And so it was a step back in time. And it's funny, he had the same problem I had, man. Mr. Muncie, back in the summer of 1992, I did driver's ed for the first time. Mr. Muncie took Tommy Lester and me on our driving lesson. And so my daddy had, I grew up on a farm, so I had been driving trucks forever. But that's a little different than the stress and the anxiousness and the anxiety of doing it with your gym teacher. And so I had the same problem. Camburn had the exact same problem that I had when I first started driving, and that is not understanding the spatial awareness of the width of the vehicle. And so he wants to edge right. He's encroaching right, and running over curves and things. I did the exact same thing. And I did it so bad, in fact, that I knocked the right mirror off of the Chevrolet brown diarrhea turd brown Chevy Cavalier that we used to do driver's ed class. And that went over like a, I was going to say went over like a turd in a punch bowl, but I'm not sure if I could use the word turd at all. And I've now said turd twice.
You can use it.
Anyway, he did a great job. I'm proud of him. We got a lot of work to do, but it's important to me that, you know, he's ready to go before he ever gets there and understands the rules of the road and understands how to brake and the fact that you brake before you get to the curve. And that way you're easing into the curve and then you're accelerating out of the turn and all of those things. And he just did an awesome job. And every single time, every lap we did, every time he went, I love to watch him fill with confidence. And then finally he looked at me. He's like, Dad, I'm ready to be done with this, man. I need some water and a snack.
It's funny you bring up the turning because that was the same thing. I remember the first time with my parents, we were in the school parking lot and they say turn, and I think I'm turning my mind, and they're like, turn the wheel. You're not turning. Like, yeah. And I was in a car, and you guys were in a big SUV yesterday.
Yeah, we were in a Yukon Denali XL. So turning right, there was this one place where there's a 90 degree right hand turn, and it's very, very thin. There was not a lot of margin for error. I did not make it easy on him. And in that instance, in a car that big and that long, you have to go past the turn and then get cut it as hard as it'll go. And he crushed it. He got the curb a couple times early, but then he listened to his tutelage. And after that, he crushed it, man. I'm proud of him. You did a great
The commentary by you, I loved. At one point, you told him to stay on the right side. In America, we drive on the right, was the verbiage that you told him.
Well, that's what I told him, because by God, that's the truth.
But you'd be a good spotter if any NASCAR driver ever needs a fill-in.
Well, no, I wouldn't, because I can't keep my attention that long. That's something that blows my mind about those spotters, is they have to be so focused and so dialed in for so long that there is no possible way that I could do that for that length of time. So I admire my boys, Brett Griffin, Kevin Hamlin, all the guys up on that roof who keep the boys safe on Sunday afternoons. I look forward to getting back to that.
I can't imagine standing that long in the heat and you're just staring at these cars.
Yeah, I know. And like, especially at places like Talladega, Daytona, where the margin of error is so, so thin, and they're going so fast and they're in such a tight pack and they're so closely bunched together. And you're the one that's letting the driver know, okay, you have enough room to hammer it down in front of that guy at 205 miles an hour. And that's just a lot of pressure. I don't know that I would do well with that pressure. And they're up there for a reason, because they're the best in the world at it. And they understand the dimensions of the car. They understand their driver's tendencies. They understand other drivers' tendencies. They also, not only in most races, not only do they watch their own driver, but they also watch the other drivers that are competitive to see what lines they're running so that they can relay that information to their driver. Hey, man, the 88's running the third groove, or the 42's running up by the wall and is making a lot of hay. So it's a heck of a position and a lot of responsibility. And I really admire what those guys do. Again, I don't think I could do it. As we continue to navigate the coronavirus pandemic and everything that comes with it, this week has been especially hard on me. It was supposed to be the NCAA tournament, men's basketball national championship. It was supposed to be Masters week. And it's arguably the greatest week of the entire calendar year in sports.
Marty, I made the mistake. I had canceled my flight to Augusta, but I never took the calendar invite out of my phone. And so I got a notification about my flight yesterday morning. And that really was just, it was like a gut punch. And I know that I'm blessed with everything. But to see that and then to know that today, right now, as we're taping Monday, we'd be walking the grounds at Augusta National interviewing God knows what celebrity or athlete or whoever. And to be stuck inside, it is hard right now, but trying to find the silver linings and things.
Yeah, we're just so blessed that we work for such an amazing company. The Disney Company has taken great measures to do their very best to make sure that every employee is taken care of in this very odd and unprecedented moment. But it's hard for me too, man. This week is so, it feels so alive. And to not be there is tough, but we are healthy and we are happy and we are blessed. And so that's where I'm keeping my focus. And I hope we're doing the Masters in November. And speaking of November, I also hope that they're playing football in November. And again, we have Miles Garrett, the all everything defensive end for the Cleveland Browns, as our guest. As I stated, it's extremely insightful and I appreciate Miles' time. So here is Miles Garrett on the Marty Smith's America podcast, episode 95. How are you passing the time while you're quarantined during this pandemic?
Mostly gaming. I don't have any workout set up here in my house, so watching TV, catch up on shows and movies, and doing a lot of gaming and doing some streaming, trying to interact with fans somehow.
So how are you working out?
Push-ups, sit-ups, and a little running around the block with my dog. That's all I have.
Old school Herschel Walker, 1983 workout.
If he can do it and have the success that he did, I'm sure I can replicate something similar.
I know you're doing a lot of goodwill in and around Cleveland. Lay out for me some of the things that you're doing to bolster that community during this time.
I know I'm going to have a couple giveaways going. I have some items that I'm going to sign and give away, and some that I'm going to donate to charity. I have a computer I'm looking forward to giving away to a special fan. Donate a little bit to Cleveland Food Bank, and I just look forward to helping people through this time right now. I know it's tough for a lot of people getting the things that they need to survive, not be able to leave the house or having to take care of others who are stricken by this virus or less fortunate. So I'm just trying to get back a little bit.
What's the story behind giving a special fan a computer?
I actually had a computer made, and I was using it for streaming, but I figured I could just use one. I had two, and I was using one for streaming, one for playing, and doing all editing and other things that I do for a hobby. So now that I don't really need it, I wanted to give it to someone in the Ohio area. I wanted to deliver it to them, so I wanted it to be somewhere I can drive to.
When you're gaming, what are your games of choice?
If I'm playing with friends, I'll probably hop on Fortnite or Call of Duty. But right now, I've been playing Doom. Been playing Red Dead Redemption. That's about it right now. Is the last couple games I've been playing.
Man, you got to be careful with Fortnite, though. I don't know if you saw that Kendrick Perkins, former NBA player, he's now an analyst for us. His kids ran up a $16,000 bill on his credit card buying in-game upgrades in Fortnite, bro. You got to be careful with that.
I don't have any kids, and I'll buy any upgrades or clothing, anything like that. No pickaxes, nothing like that.
I know that back during Thanksgiving, back to your work in the community there in Cleveland, you and Baker Mayfield hosted a Thanksgiving event at the restaurant Town Hall there in Cleveland. When you're doing those types of events with your quarterback, what impact does that have on your relationship together?
No, we're just trying to grow as friends, you know, to have that kind of chemistry, you know, off the field. That's something that you bring onto the field while you're going to practice and you're going to the game. You know that you can trust this guy completely. You know that, you know, you have no doubt that he's going to get the job done, and he has that same faith in me. And I know he's a stand up person, and he's going to go out there and work, not only as a football player, but as a person for the community and serve.
You were over in Tanzania doing some amazing work with Chris Long and those guys back in February. What did you bring home from that experience? What impact did it have on you?
Man, just how grateful they were, not only for what we were giving them, but for the circumstances they were in, you know, before we even came. You know, that's just their way of life, and you know, they're appreciative of everything that we're able to do and give to them. And, you know, they were just happy for us to even spend some time. You know, I know we weren't able to give to everybody we showed up and saw, but they were just happy to, you know, just, you know, have us around to speak, to, you know, join in their festivities, join at dinner. They would like us to do more. You know, we want to do more. So we're just trying to, you know, do more for the communities that we're, you know, partner with now, and reach out to even more, and, you know, just make this a thing that grows throughout the NFL and, you know, multiple leagues.
What perspective does it offer you when you're able to be immersed in their day-to-day and their culture about what it's like to have all of the myriad amenities we have as Americans?
It's completely night and day, you know, knowing that the women and children take the brunt of the load, and they're walking, you know, 5, 10, 15 miles for water for their family. They're not only walking that distance, but they have to fend off, you know, natural predators, you know, disease. They're already, you know, malnourished themselves. They don't have enough food and water. So, you know, going there and actually finding some water, and then you find that water, and it's, you know, it's not healthy for your body. It's, you know, it's filled with, you know, bacteria. It's brown. It's not good for you, but that's the best you have. And then being grateful for, you know, to just find and have that, you know, that's eye opening. Just there. But, you know, seeing the men, and they're hanging around the camp, and they have, you know, sticks and spears for any predators that come around, and just being around the kids, and you see the scars and, you know, the things they've have to deal with. You know, they deal with all the livestock. They deal with the, if they have any pets, they deal with that, and they start grooming them very young. You have kids around 3, 4, you know, walking around herding cattle. And they can be anywhere from 5, 10, to even 50 to 100, you know, livestock, just, you know, keeping them in line, getting, roaming them around, and, you know, bring them back to camp. And there are all kinds of predators out that could, you know, they could lunch on them anytime, but, you know, they're sending them out there because that's what they have to do. They have to groom them early because, you know, they have no other choice.
I know we're all concerned about the coronavirus, certainly, but given that you were out of the country just before this all kind of broke, what concern did you have, and have you been tested?
I've not been tested, but I mean, when I went, I don't think there were any cases in Africa. I don't even think it was only big in China at that time. I think there was only maybe a couple cases in the U.S. There were some cases in Italy, and then there were, it was going massively, you know, viral in China. But before that, I had no concern about it. I thought it was just going to be, you know, something small that was dealt with. But, you know, the way it's taken over the world, it's really ridiculous how fast it's spread, and, you know, the amount of research we're putting in to try and combat something like this.
So many of us have been so impressed with what Chris Long has done with Water Boys. How do you describe that man's selflessness and philanthropy? You know, I think he gave up his entire annual salary 1 year for the kids in Philadelphia, right?
He did. I mean, he's a great guy. I mean, the concern he shows. I remember him, you know, going on and playing with the kids. He was, you know, taking pictures. He was doing everything possible to make their time special that they had with them. So he's, you know, he does his best for the people he knows and he can reach out to. I know he can't do everything for everyone, but anything he can do for someone, he'll do. He's that kind of guy. He can reach out and talk to him anytime. He's been a good mentor for me, you know, to just contact him and, you know, pick his brain on ideas and thoughts I have for Water Boys. you know, in the future. And, you know, he's just been trying to nurture me to be the leader of this thing, to help it take off. And now I just want to help people, you know, get more involved and make this thing something incredible.
I saw an awesome video that you put on all your social channels on New Year's Day. Live well, be better, do better, be a leader. All of these different philosophies and attributes. What new perspective do you bring into 2020, Miles?
Just trying to be a better leader, a better man. I feel like I let down a lot of people with my actions from last season. But going into it, know how much I've been with, you know, my family, been with Chris, been with multiple players. You know, just be able to sit down with them, talk to them, and just absorb some knowledge. I feel like, you know, things are just different, not only for on the field, but, you know, just for me as a person. I feel like this will be a very, very positive year. You know, if it gets started, I know things are up in the air right now. We don't know when we'll start, but it should be very fun. And I'm very confident in not only the guys that we have, but, you know, the kind of attitude and the chemistry that we're going to bring.
You got to put me in that locker room. All right, you talk about some personalities now. You have your own very unique personality. Then you got Baker and OBJ and Juice Landry and my guy Nick Chubb. I mean, there are some interesting cats in that locker room. Put me in there. How do all those personalities mesh together?
I mean, Nick Chubb has a lot of personality, but you'll never hear from him because he hardly speaks to anybody.
I know.
He's so quiet. And then you have OBJ, and I mean, everybody's seen OBJ. He's all over the place. He's a great guy, though. So, I mean, just being able to talk to him the right way, he's always open. He's always sociable. You know, he's there for you to speak to at any time. And that's the thing. All these guys are open. Nobody's closed or shut out from anyone. They're always, you know, they open their minds to being changed. So if you get down to it and you tell them, you know, we got to go. We got to get this thing rolling. You know, we got to make a change here. No, they're all in on that. And so we're just, you know, just trying to see who else is being added to the mix, trying to get them on board and, you know, get this thing pulling in the right direction.
One of those guys that got added to the mix is Adrian Claiborne, a guy that can help you out a lot on the defensive line. Given that type of acquisition, and we know how prolific this offense can be, all right, what's the ceiling, if we do ever get back to playing football, what's the ceiling for the Cleveland Browns?
I don't want to say, you know, we're going to playoffs or championship, AFC championship. Those are all goals. Those are goals for every team. You know, anybody's going to tell you that. I just, you know, I'm looking forward to going out first game and trying to get a win then. That's my only, you know, concern. That's my main objective, is to get these guys on board, have them all in tune to the game plan, not have anybody focus on the next game or, you know, what our record will be, how we're going to get to the Super Bowl. I want these guys to, you know, minimize the penalties. I want guys to capitalize on the opponent's mistakes. I want them to know what they're going to do before they do it. I want to be confident in every move and them coming off the ball. I want every route to be, you know, perfect as it can be. Everybody know the game plan and go out there and just win that first game and then move on to the next.
I know you saw that great video with Case Keenum talking about how he's back in the pocket at the dog pound. And he all of a sudden hears this eruption, and that's you coming off the edge. What is that moment? Put me on the other side of that. What's that moment like for you?
I remember it very well. He was with the Redskins at that time, and I was going against, I think since Trent was out, I was going against their second guy. And I beat him with a chop around the edge, and I'm coming in hot. And I know he doesn't see me, but I can also hear the crowd just start to, you know, stand up and start to yell because they know it's coming. And he kind of glances to the left and sees me at the corner of his eye. And as the crowd starts to, you know, turn into an uproar, he just takes off running. And so he takes about four steps. I'm about to dive and get him. I was like, it's too late for him to get away. He dumps it off for about three yard halfback option. And he sprints up forward and gets the first down. It was hell of a ton of events. I remember I came out the game right then, and the coach was like, what happened? I was like, the crowd spoiled it for me.
They outed you, man. That's no good. How would you compare the atmosphere at Kyle Field to the atmosphere at the dog pound?
It's scary, man. I mean, Kyle Field was amazing. The amount of traditions they had, the amount of, you know, yells and the ways they got fans engaged, it's like no other. But if you want to talk about how loud it is and kind of atmosphere, I think it's very close.
For those of us who didn't play at Texas A&M and fans who've never been to Kyle Field on a huge game day, what is that like? What is that atmosphere?
Not many people get the chance to play in front of 105, 110,000 and them, you know, roaring when you're running out the tunnel, or, you know, losing their minds when they make a big play, like your offense makes a big play, or you get a sack or a tackle for loss. And especially if it's a close game, you see that, you know, see the crowd just erupt. You see, you know, towels waving. You see, you know, the fans never stop standing. They're always into the game. And, you know, something like that, you can never replace that. And there's nothing better. You know, I'll always have the Browns. I'll always have the dog pound, and that's met that standard. But I don't think they can surpass it. That was simply amazing. Those are memories I'll never forget.
How difficult is the SEC West?
I mean, you had the two big ones. You had Bama, LSU, and I mean, they're as tough as they get. I don't think there are any teams better in the, you know, NCAA. You know, talking about consistency wise and those guys and how often they're at the top of the rankings. And, you know, I'm talking about Bama. They're always very fundamentally sound. They always have a lot of depth and, you know, guys they can put into the on their skill positions to just, you know, fill in, and they can immediately go. And you even have that O-line, D-line. They have guys who they have scouted and recruited who are always very talented and have a high ceiling. And you have, you know, those sneakers, the Ole Miss and Mississippi State, who can get you at any time. You have Auburn, who's always in the mix. I feel like it's definitely the most competitive, you know, group in all of NCAA.
Did I see this right? You played intramural basketball at Texas A&M.
Where did you see that? If someone didn't see it, I don't know if that really happened.
We won't tell Summy, man. I saw that. I saw on Instagram. You're out here doing double hand windmills, double pump backwards dunks. If the Cavaliers call tomorrow and they say, "All right, Miles, we need a guy in the post," what's your production? What could you do in the NBA?
The guy in the post? Oh, I'm not doing anything. I'm still 6'5". But if you want to put me in like the design position, I can, you know, free roam and go from the block to the top of the key to the corner and just, you know, make plays. I think I can average a nice like 15-7, 15-8.
You got 15-8 a night?
I think I can give you 15-8 a night.
That's pretty good, man. I mean, that's pretty good. Couple more and I'll get you out of here. You went to college with Alex Caruso.
I did.
What's it been like watching him explode into pop culture on the LA Lakers?
It's been fun. No, I didn't see that coming. And I always knew he was a great player, even better guy. But, you know, knowing all the talent they had on there, I didn't think, you know, the spotlight was gonna have enough to be, you know, shined on him. And he's found his own, you know, niche, and, you know, no, he's had, you know, a couple of great blocks, a couple of great dunks. And I know they're always talking about the little headband.
Oh yeah.
He's making a name for himself, you know, just coming in and making some big plays, and he's always very consistent. You know, whether he's scoring or not, he's, you know, tenacious on defense, he's getting boards, he's assisting, he's making good passes, and he's always where he's supposed to be. He's, you know, he's the perfect, you know, role player, and he can step up and, you know, be have a better role. I know it in years to come.
How unbelievably awkward was it to pose naked for the ESPN, the magazine body issue?
So I didn't see you asking that question,
bro. I don't know, man. I couldn't do it.
It was definitely different. And knowing that my family was somewhere in the vicinity, I know they weren't there actively watching, but they still had to, like, you know, get in the truck behind us and come. And I had a robe on them, but like they still had to follow me, knowing that their son at any time they come around any rock or corner, I'm just naked posing. Having that in the back of my head, it was awkward, but the photographer at that time and the group that I was with, they made it as comfortable as possible, and they made it an enjoyable experience. I know that a couple of other people who did some shots were also very, very comfortable and very happy with the results. And I took a shot at Vaughn with my Instagram post, and I go way back with him, as you know, so it's been fun.
What was his influence on you?
I mean, he is the best pass rusher to come at A&M. I was thinking of A&M pass rushers strictly in college, but he's the best. And just watching him, and it's hard not to emulate the things that he does on the football field. With the way he chops, the way he sets up his moves, and he has a variety. Now with his long arm, his speed to power, his jab steps. He goes right to a chop. And he bends the edge where he won't even touch him. He'll go right under his arm. Like the way he can maneuver his body and he can get around the corner is unlike anybody else. But taking a little bit from him and knowing my own style of play, I'll just try to be a mixed bag.
What's your opinion of this new collective bargaining agreement?
It's not a bad deal. I won't say that, but I think we could have got more. I think we could have done a little bit better. I always thought, we shouldn't settle for anything under 50-50. I know the NBA is, I believe, at 51-49 or at 50-50, one or the other. So the players are getting a fair share. I know that 17th game is going to hurt. I didn't think that should have gone through, but no. Nothing to do now but play it, and I pray that all guys are safe during that 17th game, and just making sure that guys are able to take care of their bodies. I know there was another game in the playoffs as well, so it wasn't the most ideal. I know they increased our benefits and health benefits, but it was a little give and take. There were some things that we liked in the deal, things that we didn't like. Things I felt like we should have held out to improve upon, but it was okay. I give it a B-.
Last thing, for those of us who don't play and don't know that beating that you take every single day, what is the impact of that 17th game? How does that change things for you as a player?
Hey, you go through practice and you go on full speed, you're flying around, but you have less contact. I won't say minimal, but you have less contact. Going to that game, your adrenaline's pumping, you're hitting guys, you're flying around. That amount of stress and strain is almost unlike any other sport. And you're flying around at any time. Somebody could fall into your leg. You could fall awkwardly. You could get your arm caught. There's so many things that could happen in the game that don't happen usually. But there's always a chance, and I know that someone's coming up next year. Someone's season will be thrown ajar because someone gets hurt. One of their key players get hurt in this last game. Them trying to secure a spot, and someone's going to get hurt that they need to go further in the playoffs, and it's going to throw everything off. But you just gotta be able to take care of your body and try and keep yourself from getting any soft tissue injuries and kind of minimalizing the ability for stuff like that to happen. But I know that it's bound to happen.
Man, I appreciate your perspective. I appreciate your time and your candor. And man, stay home, stay safe, be good, and thank you, sir. I appreciate you very much. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Appreciate you for having me.
Again, it's been a really unique year for Miles, and I appreciate his time. I found it interesting that he graded the CBA a B or B plus. A lot of folks aren't saying that. A lot of his peers don't feel quite as positive about it. And as he said, that 17th game could be really tough on some of these guys' bodies. They're going to have to make sure that they take care of themselves. But we'll have to see. At this point, I just pray that we have a football season. And, you know, Trump had that meeting this week with all of the league commissioners and powers that be across all of sports. And his hope and recommendation was that the NFL starts in September. So I'm going to hold on to that. And I hope that happens because I really need me some football. It'll be interesting to see. On that note, I just want to again repeat how grateful we are to everybody on the front lines of this thing, all the doctors, all the nurses, all of the first responders, many of whom do not have the supplies that they need. One of my partners, Scott Sports, donated 1,000 pairs of ski goggles to several emergency room units across Greater Manhattan, which I thought that was amazing. Another one of my partners, Eckrich, donated $5,000 to Tomorrow's Team, which is the charity that my brother Patrick Abrahams, my field producer at ESPN, he and his brothers have that charity. And right now they're handing out meals to people in the neediest parts of Orlando. And so I'm so grateful for Eckrich for doing that. And so a lot of people are doing a lot of amazing things too. I had an Instagram live with my friend Justin Moore last Friday night where Lowe's Home Improvement Warehouse donated $25,000 to the American Red Cross to be allocated to East Nashville and to Jonesboro, Arkansas, where the tornadoes went through, and the people on the front lines there. So I do believe that there's so much good going on right now in a very odd time, and I'm just trying to hold on to that amazing positivity.
Would you like a little laugh then, Marty, that I could maybe provide for you right now?
Yes.
So you had Justin Moore and you guys did a Q&A, but he also did some songs, and that's been a thing that a lot of musicians and singers have been doing is streaming concerts. Well, I saw a post on Jack Daniel's page about Chase Rice doing a concert. Like, awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it. Well, so then that next night I wasn't going to drink that day. I was going to take it off, but I'm like, no, Chase can perform. Let me go pour me a glass of Jack Daniels. And so I get my drink and settle down and open up the page and then, realize that the post said tonight and the post was yesterday. So Travis can't read apparently during this, quarantine and, missed the concert by 24 hours and then just had my Jack Daniels just sitting there with me.
I got a notification from my friends at Jack about that, and unfortunately it was at the exact same time that I was hanging out with Justin, so maybe we'll be able to get Chase on there again and do something. But see, I love that so many artists are doing that. I think it's so therapeutic for so many people to hear live music that way. I loved what the ACMs did with the fact, you know, the ACMs were supposed to be Sunday night in Las Vegas, Nevada, and they were unable to do that due to the quarantine and coronavirus reaction. And so they had all of these artists perform at their homes with acoustic guitars. And I thought that the performances were so good. I love Tim McGraw's. He sang Humble and Kind. I love Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani. I thought their performance was amazing. I thought Brad Paisley and Darius Rucker were really good. I thought it was amazing to me that Kane Brown and John Legend could harmonize as well as they could. Same for Little Big Town. And of course, my boy Chief killed it. He debuted a new song and so called Never Break Heart. And so I just felt like that was important. And it is important to those of us who love music and lean on music so deeply. So I'm grateful for all of the artists who are doing that and giving of their time to do that for us. And I hope that you guys get something. Some kind of joy and distraction out of our podcast. Again, I'm grateful for Miles Garrett taking the time and offering his perspective to us. So thank you to him. Again, thank you to everybody on the front lines here of Corona. And thank you to our law enforcement officials, our firemen. Look, they don't, they're struggling right now too. They're still working and doing their best to make sure that these communities are safe, and they need masks and they need gloves. So if you guys have any and want to donate them, go do it, please. Thank you so much to our military all over the world, here in America and on foreign soil, making sure that we live in the greatest country in the world, keeping us free. So thank you to everybody who's sacrificing right now. We're so grateful here at Marty Smith's America and at ESPN, at the Disney Company. You guys stay safe out there. Continue to social distance, please. It's the one thing that can flatten this curve and get us back to playing ball again. We cannot wait. Appreciate y'all. Be good. That's Marty Smith's America, volume 95. Stay safe, everybody.